Так, просимо заховання спокою.
Please be calm.
Дорогі брати і сестри.
Dear brethren.
Зібрання
комітету
різних країн вже продовжується.
The meeting of committees is still going, and the date for the next convention for 2024 is already confirmed, since 6 through 11 August 2024 will be the next international convention. If the Lord will allow us, will let us, will be peace, and we will be able to make another one convention in Poland. It's on brother from Poland hands. We will continue our convention. Brother Bogdan will tell us, will lead us with song. The number from International Handbook 35.
Я приятелю Пану мам верного приятеля, і о том тільки його знам, моєго збавителя. А тем приятель крев свою дав, душе мою і духа свого нам не зляв, здесь для мене є застоя. Ах, дорогі є приятель мой, он броні мне в потребе, у Латвія зносить труд і знуй, взыва мне до себе. Он обетнице взнес лудов, судись нам злоди троски, же возьме нас до неба хвал и да нам там стан плоски. Więc muszę twarz przyjaźni tej во wszystkie dni живота, аж весьме мне до хвали своей, где выше ясной злота. А Бог час ближе все пред трон, і отдам Пану хвали, достанеться лояма он, промінь недосконале.
Дякуємо. Зараз попросимо брата Богдана Волк.
Now we'll ask brother Bogdan Volk to lead us with prayer. Full of mercy and goodness, our Heavenly Father, holy be thy name. Your love gave us redemption in your dear Son, who decided to do your will, to give his life for our sins, who you resurrected and gave him glory higher than any in this dear name. We thank you for today that led us to eat your holy food. We ask for your blessing for brother who will who you will use for your speaker, for the words from holy book were with your will. And if something is, please forgive us, give us your wisdom from above to better understand your will and follow steps our dear Redeemer Jesus Christ. Amen. I apologize before the translator that I didn't tell him to pray in Ukrainian. Now we have a privilege to listen to Brother Larry, who will tell us from the Bible. We ask Brother Larry to
Дякую, Коган. Покой вам, братья. Greetings of grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the precious name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Sister Debbie and I are so very thankful to the Lord to be here with you at this 2022 International Convention in Poland. Warm Christian love from your Orlando Bible students in Florida, especially Sister Linda Strickland, Brother Michael and Brother Ricky Strickland, Brother Jerry Wessel, Brother Jonathan and Jewel Benson, Brother Mark and Sister Roberta Tabak, and all the brethren there. Our topic today is waiting, watching, and praying. Waiting, watching, and praying. Throughout the Bible record, we find many examples of how those who would have any relationship with Jehovah had to learn the skill of waiting. Noah, for example, waited how long inside the ark for the flood to begin? Yes, he waited and he waited 7 long days with his family for something that he had truly never seen before, but believed Jehovah God when he told him that rain would fall from the sky and that every living thing on earth would be affected. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Do you think that was a long week for Noah with all those noisy animals simply trusting in God's directions? And water just didn't come from the sky, did it? Water came from the fountains of the deep as well. Genesis 7:11. Water came from over and under Noah's ark. And how long did the water fall? That's right, 40 days and 40 nights. Do you think that Noah was being tested with waiting on the Lord for all of this to happen? Absolutely. Do you think that Noah was watching very carefully to not only observe everything that he could in this experience as to how the Lord seemed to be leading him, but do you think Noah was trying to stay very close to the Lord in prayer. And after the flood, waters had stopped. Did Noah have to demonstrate faith in waiting on Jehovah again? When he sent out first a raven, then after a week a dove, and then after a week another dove again, to wait on the Lord's time and indication for them to exit the ark onto dry land? Was Noah earnestly watching? And what about when Noah built the altar, as well as throughout this testing of his faith and confidence in Jehovah? Was Noah praying unto God, pouring out his heart, looking for direction, asking for strength, thanking God for the deliverance of he and his family? Just like some of us have done in our lives. The scriptures don't give us the complete picture, but I believe it probable. Wouldn't you also say that Noah was waiting, watching, and praying? And what about other Bible characters like Abraham, Moses, and Daniel? Did Abraham have to wait on the Lord a long time to see his promised seed born? Do you think that Abraham, the father of the faithful, not only learned how to wait on God through his experience and relationship with God, but was he watching as well? Watching to see just how God would fulfill all of his promises that he had given him. His faith never wavered, never once, that God would eventually fulfill all that he had promised him, even to his dying day. Even though he never realized the promised land the way God had told him it would come. But Abraham was observant and always looking for the Lord's providential leading in his life, and had complete confidence in God's word to him that it would come. Maybe not in his present life, but same day later. If God said it, Abraham believed it, and that settled it for him. How about us? Well, maybe it would have been nice to have more details about how things would come about. But then again, did Jesus know everything? Everything that was ahead for him and how it would come about? If we know too much and if we see too much, then it's possibly no longer a walk of faith, is it? It's a walk by sight. And we live in an age of what? Faith. That's right. Faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. It would happen just as sure as the sun would rise. To develop that kind of faith, won't he? If we are truly going to be sons of God, do you and I have faith like the faith of Abraham? Do we fully embrace and fully believe that what God has promised us in the scriptures will truly come to pass, just as sure as the law of gravity? How long can we wait for the continuing city that Abraham was waiting for? Is Abraham still waiting? Are we still waiting for the kingdom on earth that God has promised? A resurrection awakening and a complete restoration of mankind to eventual moral perfection as well as at-one-ment with Jehovah. Are we watching the scriptures and their prophetic testimony, observing the signs and indicators that we have been pointed to by God's authorized seven messengers during the gospel age, including the last messenger to the church, who received information, uninspired, but important information, from our returned Lord, who we believe was authorized to write down the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that everyone may read it fluently. Habakkuk 2:2. God has always dealt with prophets, men, messengers, to deliver packages of truth to his people. That's the way God operates. That's what we call his modus operandi. If someone tells you it's an organization, a group, or whatnot, I believe you could ask them, but how have we seen God operate in the past? His modus operandi has always been to work through men who were authorized agents to give a message, whether it was Jeremiah, Daniel, or even seven messengers to the church. Samson prayed for strength to remove two pillars. Are we praying for the mountains to be removed? Psalms 46:2, Matthew 21:21-22, and volume 4, page 596. Praying for the reaper to gather his elect and set up a kingdom and dominion that shall never be destroyed, a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and love. Daniel 7:14. A divine kingdom that man has long prayed for. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are we going to patiently wait on the Lord, watch the prophetic signposts, and pray without ceasing, dear friends, for this glorious hope? Moses, as you know, waited for 40 years as a humbled prince and then a shepherd of sheep for the Lord's direction in his life that he had chosen at great cost, leaving the pleasures of Egypt in the royal palaces, Hebrews 11:24-26. Why? Because he believed. He believed in God and the promises to the Hebrew people. Then when God, through Moses, delivered the Hebrews from Egyptian bondage, he waited, he watched, and prayed throughout 40 years of trials in the wilderness journey. But could all the Israelites wait on God and wait on Moses, who represented God in some respects? When Moses went up to Mount Horeb to receive the law tablets, but it took longer than the Israelites anticipated, delayed expectations can be the soil of doubt for the weeds of fear. Did Israel lose faith in any degree because they couldn't wait any longer and started to wallow in entertainment, immoralities, and made their own God to serve, even moving Aaron into a position of constructing an unauthorized object of worship? They had other leaders' voices that they were listening to instead of waiting and listening to God's authorized agent, Moses, who was conversing with God in a way, to my knowledge, that no one had ever conversed with Jehovah God. But the Israelites could not wait. They couldn't wait on God's time for things to happen. So they took measures into their own hands, took leaders other than their main leader, Moses, who was to direct them and give them God's instruction. Do you think that Moses was praying throughout these experiences? Absolutely. You know he was. The scripture cites some of these examples. Could we ever reject God's authorized messengers and message? Recall from church history how the apostate church couldn't wait for Christ to return. So they set up his kingdom for him prematurely and set up a false Christ, the man of sin, to act as his vicegerent. 2 Thessalonians 2:1-12. The kingdom that God had promised to give his only begotten son had been stolen from Jesus, and a 1,000-year kingdom had been usurped by a man of sin, an antichrist, to rule as Jesus' stead. The apostate church proved that they could not wait, and so they set up the abomination of desolation, the antichrist, that refuted our precious doctrine of the ransom of Jesus Christ and claimed his kingdom, the kingdom promised by God to his son. What say the scriptures about the prophet Daniel? He was called beloved by God, wasn't he? It's interesting that in the very same chapter that Daniel was noted for looking into the chronology of the 70-year prophecy of Jeremiah, Daniel 2:11, that God reveals the chronology of the arrival of Messiah's first advent there. And Daniel is characterized as greatly beloved. Verse 23. I believe that he was greatly beloved in part because he was showing God his intense interest in the chronology that God had given him in the 70-week prophecy. This suggests to me that God would be very pleased to see us as his prospective sons make an effort in the same way for us to look into and study the chronology that God has so scrupulously made to deliver us in the scriptures, so that the initiated might know the times and the seasons that would help them to patiently wait and know more intimately what the timing would be in the events of church history and deliverance. Yes, Daniel was watching the prophecies through God's eye of chronology, waiting patiently for it all to come to pass, not in his time, but in God's due time, and praying fervently. Fervent, sincere prayer is vital for the revealment of God's word to any Christian in the gospel. And not everybody has the capacity to understand all of it, but I believe that God is very pleased in us when we, like Daniel, are making an effort to understand God's chronology. Just make a fervent, prayerful effort, and you may be surprised what you can understand. James 1, 5 and 6. Recall. It wasn't time for him to understand all of it. He would just have to wait. Isaiah 40:31. And again, Daniel 12:9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Dear brethren, I believe we are living in the time of the end. It goes on in Daniel 12:1. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. In other words, I suggest that none of the tares will understand, only the wheat class. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days. Have we come past that time, dear friends? I believe so. But go thy way, Daniel, till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Daniel 12:12. Blessed is he who what? Yes, he who waiteth. It is my belief that those 1,335 days of Daniel ended in 1874. Do the signs given earlier in that chapter verify this proposition? Let's take a quick look at some of them in Daniel 12, verse 1, for example. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered. Every one that shall be found written in the book. We know from our studies that Michael is Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Jude 1:9. We also know that Daniel's people were Israel. What did it say would happen to Daniel's people during the time Christ would return or stand up, as a brother brought up earlier today? Doesn't it say they would be delivered? Verse 1. Well, do we see evidence that Israel has been in the process of being delivered back to their land? Is Israel a great nation today? According to my findings, Israel had a population of about 14,000 Jews around 1878. Israel has a population today of 6.9 million. Yes. Sign number one. Is Israel being delivered back to their promised land? Absolutely. To jest prawda. And when we see that happening, we know what? That Christ Jesus has returned. What else does it say to look for when Michael returns? It tells us of an unprecedented time of trouble, such as never was. Tell me, how long have we had nuclear bombs in the world that could eliminate all life on our planet? Has this always been the case, or just within the last 75 years? Jesus said in the time of his return that unless those days would be shortened, that there should no flesh be saved. Matthew 24:22. Another signpost. Now let's look at something else. The marriage institution is the core of society. In the United States, we have nearly 2,400 divorces every single day. And 876,000 divorces every year. This is unprecedented in the history of the world. The past century, we had over 60 million deaths related to wars. Again, unprecedented in world history. Have we seen an increase in terrorism and mass shootings? And how about the serious concerns about global warming? Unprecedented trouble and signs of our Lord's return. Daniel also mentions an increase of knowledge and people running to and fro. You can ask your cell phone almost any question, and it will quickly give you an answer, right? Knowledge doubled every 100 years in 1900. Every 25 years, right after World War II. And today, I believe it's doubling every 13 months. This and the quick modes of transportation are, to me, absolute proofs of the invisible return of our Lord. Daniel mentions that people will run to and fro. Think about the last airport that you visited, or the major expressway you drove in a city. Were people running to and fro from this direction or that direction? We even have self-driving cars now. Are we scripturally watching for the signs that indicate that our Lord has truly returned? 1 Corinthians 4:5 is another sign. It states there, therefore, judge nothing before the time until what? Until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. So I ask you, is much of anything hid in today's news? How long has the Catholic Church system been hiding the horrible atrocities of sexual abuse by hundreds of their priests? Can they hide them today? No, the hidden things are being made manifest to the general public and because of our Lord's return, like this scripture that we just read. Dear friends, we are waiting on the full establishment of God's kingdom, are we not? Waiting for the time promised by our God when sin, the real cause of pain, suffering, sickness, and death, will forever be at an end. Revelation 21:4. Let's not become impatient because it's not happening as fast as we would like in our time. It's a process, and many events have to take place during this time of waiting for the kingdom's full establishment as well as our own deliverance. Though the vision tarry, wait for it, because it will what? It will surely come. Habakkuk 2:3. But how well are we watching, trimming our scriptural lamps? Or are we wasting too much time on other pursuits and entertainment like TV? Our Master, Christ Jesus, admonished us to watch and pray, didn't he? Lest we enter into temptation. Revelation 3:10. Prayer is our lifeline of communication with our Father. It is our umbilical cord of spiritual nutrients to keep us spiritually healthy and vibrant in our faith, vibrant in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Many reduce their blessings and insights because of their lack of prayer. The Apostle Peter was a prophet as well as an apostle. He told us in 1 Peter 3:20 to 21 that Christ is our ark, that like as Noah and his family were lifted up above the flood rising around them, so too our faith and baptism in Christ will lift us up in deliverance from the impending troubles around us. Christ Jesus is the ark that will reorganize society, reorganize the whole world by bringing all things under God's subjection and power. Christ, our King, and hopefully our Bridegroom, if we are faithful, will assist him in that glorious endeavor. Colossians 1:27. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming or presence of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Notice the next verse where Peter is admonishing us to be watching. 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Looking or watching is the key. Please read the warning in verses 14 to 18 also. Now let's take our remaining time to bring this topic down to an everyday practical application. Waiting, watching, and praying. We have many circumstances in our Christian journey that teach us the importance of waiting, waiting on the Lord, of waiting and watching and praying about situations of our family, our health, our jobs, ecclesia decisions, of dealing with people or brethren that we interact with. Sometimes we pray about things and it seems like the Lord is not listening or isn't answering our prayers in some situations. It takes so long sometimes to get a response. And sometimes the Lord just says, no. Or just wait. Trust me, he says. I have your name inscribed on the palm of my hand, and I have your tears in a bottle. I'm aware of every thought and every concern in your life because you turned your life over to me when you consecrated. Just trust me. Trust that I can make all things definitely work out together for your highest spiritual welfare, and that certainly I will never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can happen to you without my approval. Nothing. Just wait, God may say. Reach down deeper in patient endurance of the circumstances in which I am developing your skills of sonship, developing the fruits of the Spirit and Christ's likeness within you. Let go and just do your personal best and leave the rest to me. But be sensitive to the impulses of the Holy Spirit and the providential overrulings in your life. Be watchful and observant. Reflect on the scriptures. Some people pray and then forget about the request of help from me and then walk right by the answer they were apparently never really looking for. Learn the way I think. Learn of my character and my plans and purposes, especially in the divine plan of the ages that I have revealed unto you. Be patient and learn to wait. Like all the prophets and character examples that I have given you in Daniel and Moses and Abraham and others, just learn how to wait, watch, and pray. Recall, for example, Nehemiah, who waited 4 months for an answer to his prayer to Jehovah. Keep in mind when you are waiting, watching, and praying that the Lord not only has to take time to prepare the people in these circumstances you pray about, like he did the king with Nehemiah's request, but also the surrounding circumstances in the situation, as well as your own hard attitude in receiving the answer to your prayers. There are times when you are not quite prepared for the answer that the Lord gives you. Sometimes it is because we might not show enough sincerity or desire in our prayers. Unlike Nehemiah, who fasted and prayed day and night for an answer to his prayers. Perhaps sometimes the Lord may not think we are truly serious enough about a situation to really give us an answer. Intensity, frequency, and yes, sometimes with strong cryings and tears, like our Master, are needed to answer our prayers. And yes, sometimes I believe that perhaps even with fasting and a bland diet. Did Jesus get the answer he was looking for in Gethsemane? No, the death of the cross, dying as a malefactor or blasphemer of God, was not his preference of circumstances. However, Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Very important words. This should be our attitude as well. And how about the Apostle Paul? Did Paul have the eyesight improved to serve the Lord better that he requested? God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. In closing, dearly beloved, perhaps we see several ways we need to improve upon our skills of sonship. in learning to wait, being careful to watch, and even more frequently, the vital resource of prayer. May our amazing Heavenly Father continue to guide you, to strengthen you, and to shelter you in whatever may lie ahead. And may you and I rest in the ark of safety in Jesus Christ. And praise God that we are privileged to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. May we wait on the Lord and renew our strength and mount up with wings of eagles and run and not be weary and walk and not be faint. Isaiah 40:31. May we continue to patiently wait and pray together, Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Our Lord God has long waited, more than anyone else, for this glorious kingdom establishment. We long for the day when the two great cherubim on the mercy seat of the tabernacle, with outstretched wings of God's love and power, will no longer be waiting to fly, but they will lift up and symbolically fly to man's rescue after the blood is sprinkled the second time on the mercy seat. And finally, the desire of all nations shall come with peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Again, I say, wait, watch, and pray. To God be the praise and glory forever. Amen. Niech Pan Bóg błogosławi.
Dear brethren, we sincerely thank Brother Larry for this beautiful word that make our faith stronger and gave us power and hope to keep waiting for this time, the time of glorious kingdom of our Jesus Lord Christ. Now we have to hear announcements. Brother Slavinsky have this announcement. I know that sometimes I'm just fit into. Thank you, brother, that you let me in.
W kabinach potrzebujemy zmiany. Tłumacze są gotowi. Proszę, braterstwo, mam dla was. Przepraszam.
Sorry.
Mam nadzieję, że ostatnie przyjemne ogłoszenie.
I hope the last nice pre-last nice announcement.
Gremium komitetów konwencji międzynarodowej.
The Committee of International Conventions.
Decydowaliśmy, przyjęliśmy.
We decided that if the Lord will let us, we will meet probably in this place in 2 years, in August 6-9, 2024. If our Lord will let us, these words, in these words in history of our life, have very deep means. meaning. 2 months ago, I was speaking with a sister from Ukraine. I called her and asking, how are you doing? She told me, no, since 4 a.m. I cannot sleep. I'm walking all the time with fear because since 4 a.m. there was a bomb flow above my house, and it fell like 2 kilometers away from my house, and there was a fire. I'm telling this for you to know what is the situation where station do for his targets. But we know that our Lord has prepared more for us. Better from Ukraine at convention in Tversko Slavice. I promised them, so seeing them there, that they came there. I promised them that if they will come here, you will sing with us one song, which we couldn't sing here. And now I hope now in 3 languages we will sing this song now. And I'm asking all brethren from Ukraine to come and sing. And Brother Bogdan, I'm asking to take his instrument. And Brother Mariusz, I ask to show this song. And we want to glory our Lord with one song and to say goodbye to our brother from Ukraine. And maybe next convention we will sing this song again. Brother from Ukraine, we invite you. Please come. I will not go until you come.
Ви старт. Щоб мені сказали тих слів на екрані. Я постановив теж ще приłączyć на гітарі.
Cieszę się, że i brat Borowiec przyszedł. Krawiec, przepraszam, brat Krawiec. Pierwszą zwrotkę zaśpiewamy może sami, ale w drugiej to już oczekujemy, że będziecie z nami. Bardzo prosta pieśń na chwałę Panu Bogu.
Thank you.
Początku jeszcze raz, bo słabo śpiewaliście. Tak, żeby została w sercach. Bo ja dzisiaj całą noc nie spałem, tylko ją nuciłem. Czekaj, poczekaj. Dziękujemy, że tak pięknie śpiewacie. Szybko się uczycie. I zostańcie z tą pieśnią z braćmi z Ukrainy na następne dni, tygodnie, a może lata.
Jeszcze masz ogłoszenie?
Już nie
ma. To było bardzo dobre ogłoszenie. Drogi braty i siostry.
Dear brethren. My little servant comes to the end, and using this moment that I have to the opportunity to stand here, I want to thank everyone, brethren from different countries, for your help as material and spiritual, for all your prayers, for your support, Because we know that people ask NATO to close the sky under Ukraine. That your praise are this power that God closed the sky under about us, and this bomb doesn't fall on our hands, on our houses, and God, children in Ukraine, we have opportunity to go to meetings, and we feel we thank you for all prayers, and the prayer really have very very huge power. If something was wrong from our side, please sorry. And we ask Brother Lyubomir Volk to lead us in prayer and to ask blessing for the food we will eat. And we will end this part of meeting. Our loving Father who lives in heaven, through the merit of your Son and our dear Redeemer, Jesus Christ, in this moment we stand before you. Thank you. Thanks for today, for life, for health, for this that we can meet each other with many brethren from different countries. Loving Father, we thank you for this all. Also ask you for blessing and for our lives. We want to thank you for the spiritual food that we could build our characters to gain eternal life. We also thank you for this earth food we will eat to make your will in our body. We ask for all your children who are around the world, who are in temptations alone, who couldn't be here. We ask for your blessing for them and for your guidance. Thy will be done, and your and your Son, thy will be glory for now and for eternity. Amen. Wish you